Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. Got a nice show with friends from thy neighboring state, the only actual state, Maine borders, okay, New Hampshire. Okay, we're going to talk to Rachel Sopko and Becca Van Horn, who both are connected to the University of New Hampshire and a program called iLearn New Hampshire. And we also have Karen Buehrer, Dr. Buehrer, who's a senior VP over at Discovery Education, my good friends, and she's involved with her title in teaching and learning. We'll find out how that all got connected and what iLearn NH is all about in just a few minutes. We're going to archive the show at our home website for American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ED.org. We invite you to go over there, read our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and a new issue will be up on site probably on Friday. We're looking forward to that. Always exciting for us. We hope for you, too. And all our podcasts are over there. And we started our new website, which is called SEL Today, all about social-emotional learning, equity, social-emotional learning. They kind of run together. So we wanted to really get involved in that side of it, and that's at seltoday.org. Okay, so there's your homework, ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. And so without further ado, let me bring on my three guests. Hold on. There we go. You should be all there. Let's start with Dr. Buehrer. Dr. Buehrer, Karen, are you there?
I am here, Larry. It's great to hear your voice again, and it's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, almighty Senior Vice President of Teaching and Learning. Hey, and well, you know, it's easy titles, Senior Vice President of Teaching and Learning. What does that actually mean? What do you actually do? Yeah, there you go.
That's a great question. You know that part on the job description that says other duties as assigned?
Yes.
That's kind of, no, I'm only kidding. Yeah. I'm only kidding. Actually, I oversee professional learning for Discovery Education. Yeah, and then I also have great teams of people who work with educators on how to effectively incorporate our resources into instruction. So it's a great role and
it is
awesome to work with schools across the country.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Karen, for clearing that up. I appreciate it. And I'll start with Rachel. Rachel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi. So nice to be here today.
I'm Larry. Call me Larry. And Becca, you were there too, right? Becca Van Horn?
I am. Thank you so much for having us.
That's my pleasure. And by the way, just so you know this, I know Durham, New Hampshire well. My kids grew up in Exeter, just a little ways down the road from you guys.
Oh, perfect. Oh, very
so
cool.
So I know. And I live now in Maine. And this is an important thing. You ready for this, Karen? Karen?
I'm ready.
Maine is the only state in the country to only border one other state, and that state is Maine. It is New Hampshire.
Well, we're so glad to be your neighbor, Larry.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers. I appreciate that. Won't you be my neighbor?
That's
okay.
Right.
Of course we will.
You get that, Karen? Because we got the Atlantic Ocean in Canada, and the only other state is New Hampshire. Maine.
Well, and Larry, every Tuesday night, I play a game of trivia. So I'm hoping that comes up next week because now I know it.
I hope so, too. And also, just so you know this, Maine is the only state with just one syllable.
Oh, actually, I didn't know that. That's a good one.
There you go.
Awesome.
Because New Hampshire has many syllables. We'll talk about
that in
2 seconds. It really does. Okay, ladies, I'll just ask Rachel. Rachel, iLearn NH, which is iLearn New Hampshire, iLearn NH, all right, is an LMS program, I think, that you want to get to New Hampshire schools. What has it got to do with UNH? How does iLearn NH and UNH come together? What's going on? Put the two things together.
Yes. That's a really great question, and there's kind of a lot of players here that make iLearn New Hampshire what it is. And so we are, like you said, part of the University of New Hampshire. We are also a partnership
with
the New Hampshire.
Go Wildcats.
Yeah, right. and with the New Hampshire Department of Education. But we are also kind of our own entity. And so, like you said, our mission is really to connect K-12 teachers and students across New Hampshire by providing high-quality technology tools, training, and support. And so iLearn, was created in September of 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, where the New Hampshire DOE and the University System of New Hampshire really recognized this deep need for really high-quality tech tools for, you know, schools and teachers and students across New Hampshire. And so our team was created in order to bring these high-quality tech tools to schools across the state and really help do things like expand what is possible in the classroom, help teachers meet the needs of all of their students, increase educational equity, and prepare students for life beyond the classroom, whether that be a college track or a career track. And so when our small team came together, we, you know, hired this great crew of former K-12 teachers like myself. We have people with expertise in nonprofit and in adult learning like Becca. We have former K-12 administrators. We have tech gurus. And so really kind of combining all of those skills to make sure that we not only provide these high-quality tech tools to schools across New Hampshire, but that we provide them the support and the training to be able to use them effectively. And so iLearn New Hampshire, to kind of get back to your question about, you know, how does the DOE and USNH really play into this, it's an investment in the education system of New Hampshire and an investment in the teachers and the students to make sure that they have everything they need, because we really believe that education technology coupled with the amazing things New Hampshire teachers are doing can really increase the educational outcomes for our students. And so we use the resources of the University System of New Hampshire as well as those of the DOE to ensure that that success now and, you know, in the future beyond the pandemic.
That was one hell of a great explanation. I got to tell you that, Rachel.
Thanks so much, Larry. I'm glad it makes sense.
Wow.
Thanks. We think we're pretty incredible. So.
Wow. Okay. That was amazing. All right. Yeah, I'm going to say one thing. I lived in New Hampshire a long time. I loved it there. I still do. Okay, although we live in the next state over now. And I got to tell you, when New Hampshire wants to get something done, it's something done. It's a great state to live in. Okay?
That's what we want to do. We want to get it done.
Yes. Government incentive works in New Hampshire because it just gets it done. I got to tell you. Wow. Becca, I don't know if you can top this, so I'll ask you this one, Becca. Okay? Are you ready, Becca? I don't know. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. How'd you hook up with Discovery? What's Discovery got to do with all this? Ms. Becca Bannon, everybody. I learned New Hampshire, I learned NH, and Discovery. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I learned New Hampshire, when we first started back in September 2020, we had three tools and three partnerships with these organizations. So we had Canvas as our learning management system, that as a hub for learning. You know, teachers can post resources and ask, assess students, collect work, provide feedback, this one-stop shop to help facilitate student learning. And then we have Zoom, because this was September 2020. We still think that there's lots of possibilities for Zoom, but as this video conferencing software so that we can reach students in diverse areas. And then our third tool is Kaltura. And that's more storage, video management, a lot of different possibilities with these three tools. And recently, because, you know, we come from K-12 backgrounds, and we really want to think about how to expand the walls of the classroom, what is the next step is to find this partnership with tools that teachers can use within the classroom. Because when you look at Canvas, which is kind of our main hub, it's a blank canvas. It can be really overwhelming. But we'll be partnering with Discovery Education, which is this rich repository of curriculum resources. Teachers can pull them directly into Canvas to support instruction, all these variety of different types of videos and text and projects. That's filling this gap of, we have the platforms now, and how can we expand to find these resources?
It's cool. Thank you. That was great, Becca. I appreciate that. Okay. So, Karen, what do you do on the Discovery end to make all this happen for the great state of New Hampshire?
Well,
by the way,
if
I might add, live free or die. It's the only license plate in America with a death threat on it.
Right.
Live free or die. That's all there is to it.
Well, we're gonna emphasize that live free part. How about that?
That's good.
That's right. So we've had this amazing partnership with iLearn New Hampshire to be able to really help meet the needs of of teachers and students, especially over, you know, this last year that they have been, you know, teaching through a pandemic. And even, you know, as we're still returning to school now and going in person, you know, there's still just a lot of, you know, what is this looking like? How do we meet kids where they are? And so as we said, we've got these resources that can fit into the curriculum, can fit into in-person, can fit into hybrid, no matter what. But really, my two favorite words to really think about pushing this out, and that's professional learning. So we're providing ongoing professional learning for educators across New Hampshire. And in some cases, that professional learning is, like we were saying, how do you use Discovery Education in Canvas? In other cases, and, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show about SEL and equity. How do we use these resources to support SEL? How do we use them to support equity? It's what are your current needs and how can we help you meet those needs with these resources? And that all is wrapped up through professional learning.
And thanks for mentioning both SEL and equity, because those are important to us, as you know that. So let me go back to Becca, okay? Becca, all right? By the way, in a state of great orders, you are standing out as one of the great ones, Becca. I mean, Rachel, look after Rachel. Rachel, Becca's good. Rachel, Becca's good, but she's coming in a close second right now. Rachel is the leader. She's the Daniel Webster of I Learn New Hampshire. Okay? Unbelievable. All right? You're good, Becca. You're good. I don't mean to be derogatory. You're good. You're excellent.
She's
but
no, I agree. No, I
a hair behind. A hair behind. That's,
absolutely.
You know, there's so, Rachel, that said from Karen, okay, what are you finding that educators across K-12 are looking for in New Hampshire? What do they need?
I think that's such a good question, Larry, and I think that,
thanks,
you know, what teachers in New Hampshire need is what teachers across the United States need right now. They need to figure out their way through this crisis education that we're still in the midst of, arguably. You know, teachers right now have had to really deal with a lot over, you know, since March 2020 when the world shut down. You know, I was a teacher in the classroom in March 2020. I know exactly what they were going through.
Where were you?
You went to school on...
Where were you?
I was a high school English teacher in Ansonia, Connecticut. So go Tar
Heels. Oh, wow. Well, welcome to New Hampshire.
Thanks. But like I said, you know, I was in the classroom in March 2020, and, you know, you went to school on Wednesday, and Thursday you got the call and said, hey, nobody's
school
coming
time.
In tomorrow. Yeah. Come in on Friday. You've got to create 2 weeks' worth of work. And, you know, and that was scary because I was about to start a new novel with my students. They didn't have anything. I couldn't get the novels to the kids. And so we had to start from scratch and really say, what can we do right now to support our students? And I think in a lot of ways we're kind of still there in, you know, September 2021. Teachers are still trying to figure out what does education look like right now. And I think that's where our tools and our training and our partnership with Discovery Education come in. And, you know, Discovery Ed has, you know, 300,000 plus resources at the disposal of teachers and students. And, you know, whether it's keeping current with news and current events through, like, the Reuters of the Newsy channel that they provide, whether it's, you know, these cool challenges from companies like 3M or the Maker Month activity from Home Depot or the Phenomenal Science channel where kids can explore questions like, how do otters keep warm, or, you know, why does fire burn, or, you know, take a virtual field trip. I was an English teacher, so, you know, I loved teaching Shakespeare. Normally this time of year I would start teaching Macbeth, and, you know, I'm trying to get my kids excited about Shakespeare, which is really hard to do with 10th graders. They're like, I can't stand him. And I'm like, no, I love him. Please listen. But, you know, the ability to take just something like Discovery Ed, pull it into my Canvas module where my students are on this virtual field trip where they're going to Stratford-upon-Avon and they're seeing the school where, you know, Shakespeare went to school. They're seeing the globe.
Cool.
Those are the kinds of experiences that teachers really want to pull in right now, because they don't want to reinvent the wheel. They don't have time to reinvent the wheel because we know how much teachers are juggling. And so when Discovery Ed and our tools work together, it helps teachers have really rich resources to reimagine and to reinvent and to, you know, really innovate what classroom learning can look like. And then, you know, just kind of one more cool thing that Discovery offers for them too is, you know, these are all not just things that mean that kids are sitting in front of a computer screen 8 hours a day, or, you know, when they get home for homework. You know, things like Discovery offer these cool, what they call SOS instructional strategies, where it helps think about how to use these resources in a blended learning environment, whether it's, you know, their silence is golden strategy, where teachers show a video resource with no sound, and they make students make inferences and really think about, you know, what is going on here? Why is that happening? You know, giving teachers those pieces and those kinds of strategies really helps them think about how to make a classroom environment that really pushes kids to be creative, to be curious, to be collaborative. And I think those are just what teachers need right now, is just, you know, some resources to help them really think about how to navigate, you know, whatever education looks like right now and whatever it's going to look like tomorrow, because we still live in a place of uncertainty of what that will be. And, you know, today, tomorrow, and, you know, a week from now.
Well, education, and you kind of summed it up, after March 13th, 2020, I mean, education has changed forever. And the way we have to approach it, okay, it won't go back to the way it was. Okay, that's wishful thinking or whatever you want to call it. It's not going backwards. It better not go backwards. Okay, and we learned a lot, and we can apply all these things. We have the technology to make sure these kids learn, because we learned every kid learns differently, and we can almost work under those circumstances, hopefully better than we could before. We learn from these things. Hey, Becca, here's your chance to take over number one from Rachel. Okay, you ready? You ready, Becca?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Having lived in New Hampshire, again, I lived in Exeter, okay, for many, many years. All right. My question is, in New Hampshire, and this is specifically, this is kind of the same across the country, okay, there are rich districts and there are poor districts, okay, and many districts in between. It seems to me that iLearnNH, your program, okay, it's helping to, and I want you to talk about this equity side, to put equity out there for LMS and a learning system. Okay, the poorer districts, and this is not meant to be derogatory, it's just a socioeconomic thing, an economic thing, okay, way up north, okay, close to where I live up here, okay, they need all the same things that the richer districts can get, okay. Talk about how this helps the equity factor. Becca Van Horn, everybody, moving to number one with this answer. The Ken Jennings.
I would never try to take number one from Rachel.
Jennings of Education Talk Radio will move forward. Go ahead, Becca.
So we've been talking about equity and access since day one of iLearn. It is incredibly important to absolutely everyone on the team. And the vision of iLearn New Hampshire is that every single school, every single district in the entire state will have access to free tools that helps level that playing field.
Yeah.
So that's the first step, is just getting these tools in the classroom regardless of socioeconomics. Number one goal. We talk about this
Perfect.
Every single day we come in. But the reason that is so very exciting for us is that there are different parts. So first we have that K-20 students in New Hampshire and throughout the country. Almost 40% of universities use Canvas. So we're setting up kids for higher education who have access to some of these tools. Yeah, so it's kind of helping to think about not just K-12, but beyond. But our vision is really that students have access to this more personalized learning so that they can take courses not offered in their communities. So if Berlin is an iLearn New Hampshire partner and Exeter is an iLearn New Hampshire partner, then a kid in Berlin could take German or whatever from a teacher in Exeter, or calculus. I grew up in rural Vermont, and by senior year
I knew you did.
Was almost exclusively taking classes online. I went to a really small, mighty high school, but it didn't offer enough. So
Where'd you go?
I have Proctor High School in Vermont. Really rural public high school.
I don't know that one.
It would have been a game changer for me as a student to have access to resources throughout the entire state. So we are thinking constantly about rural communities. iLearn New Hampshire also, we serve public, private, charter. When you start bringing down those walls and students just have access to the entire world at their fingertips, that's really powerful. And then the other piece of it that we're always thinking about, Karen mentioned that professional development arm, is how teachers can be supported with these resources as well. So thinking about, all right, the same teacher in Berlin could pull resources from another teacher in Durham or wherever, and vice versa. So just constantly hitting that creativity and collaboration and building that community, not just for students, but also for teachers to help give teachers support as well.
Right. And I will now help the Vermont girl become a true New Hampshireite. Are you ready, Becca? Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. It's Berlin, not Berlin. Berlin, New Hampshire.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I've gotten that before.
Right. Yes, I know you have. Nobody could let that one go. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like Massachusetts. Let me just make this clear to everybody listening. Massachusetts, there's a town, Quincy, like John Quincy Adams. But if you pronounce it Quincy, they know you're not from there because you pronounce the C like a Z. It's Quincy.
Quincy.
Okay? Quincy.
Awesome.
Okay? Then you can fool them and they'll think you're from there. Okay? Quincy, not Quincy. All right? So it's Berlin, not Berlin. Got it?
All right, Berlin.
There you go, pal. You're good. And that was a great answer, by the way. Okay, you're moving up here. I'll tell you, it's a tie score. I'll let Karen decide who's the winner. Is that okay?
Oh, there we go. Thanks
there you go.
For
get
that.
Myself off the hook here, Karen. Okay. It's no problem, all right? I'll get to one. This is key stuff, and this really is an equity issue. And so, back to Karen, who has the national perspective, and Discovery's obviously national. Okay. Are other states following up on stuff like this? This is really a good program. I like this. And as I said, New Hampshire gets stuff
Thanks.
Done. Okay. And this is good. And they got good partners here. Have you heard from other states? Or what's the word on that, Karen?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, I just really want to, you know, call out, you know, the vision.
Don't take sides, Rachel or Rebecca. Don't take sides.
I was going to call out the vision of both of them,
Rebecca.
Rachel. And people like, you know, Commissioner Frank Edelblatt, the vision for, you know, what can this look like? What should it look like? And, you know, one of my favorite speakers across the country is Alberto Cavallo, superintendent of Miami. And, you know, he said early on, we can't let a good crisis go to waste.
That's right.
And you know, that's exactly what, you know, people like Rachel and Becca are like, okay, we're in this situation. We need to think about it. How do we go forward? How do we move this forward to really change education for the better to meet the needs of all students? And so, yeah, we are absolutely having these conversations with other states. And, you know, it was interesting, Larry, because one of the things that Discovery did when COVID first started is we started equity talks. And we brought superintendents, board members, curriculum people, you know, from around the country together on a weekly basis to talk about the concept of equity and what does equity mean and what is equity looking like? And most importantly, what are you doing to address equity for your students, no matter what our education is looking like from now and in the future? And so these conversations, the best part, if there is any good part about this pandemic, is that, you know, we've been able to really talk about what this should look like for students going forward in the future. And so as a lifelong educator, I mean, prior to coming to Discovery, I spent 30 years in Pennsylvania, where
there you
I
go.
Still am.
This is
such a great time to talk about education for students. Such a great time.
You know, your being
totally
in Pennsylvania
agree.
Brings up a very important point, Karen. Are you an Eagles fan or a Steelers fan?
Oh,
it's like the Rachel Rebecca thing. It's that kind of
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely Eagles.
There
absolutely.
You go. You can stay on the show.
Fly,
thank you very much.
Eagles fly.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Your buddy Marla was on earlier today. Marla Wilson from the STEM, your STEM Careers Coalition. She's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I just want you to know that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We're just not talking about that.
My buddy Marla. Got to talk to her. But we're going to have an intervention. Okay.
There we go. That's right.
Take care
Absolutely.
Of her. Okay. This is what happens, Rachel and Becca, when Eagles fans talk. Okay? So just be prepared for that.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
My best friend is an Eagles fan. I get it.
There you go.
You get it.
There you go. There you go. Right. We're lovely people, too. Moving
we
right
are.
Along.
We are.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys this, okay? Becca, how's the response coming from the school districts? Are they loving this? What are you hearing back? What's the feedback from the districts?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it changes just about every day. What we're seeing from our schools is that, I mean, as Rachel mentioned, we were responding to crisis education throughout all of last year, and although we all had much different hopes for starting school year 2021, it just hasn't been the case. So when we talk to school districts, we're constantly recognizing that this is number 207 or so on their list of things that they need to worry about. So we have some really strong partnerships with schools throughout the state. We're working really hard to develop more of them at the same time. We have about 20 schools right in who are working, like, we're hands-on, we're in there, we're with it. And the schools that we're working with who see what is possible with Canvas, with Discovery, all these partnerships, they're excited. At the same time, we recognize that this is, you know, one of many, many things. So there's just a lot on our teachers, on our administrators, on our students.
It's tremendous.
And we are introducing one more ed tech tool that we are very passionate about and that we don't want to go away. You know, we recognize that we don't want this to be another mandate or something, because it's not. This is something that we really believe in for our students and our teachers. We're trying to infuse our excitement around the state, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of it, at the same time recognizing that there's just so much on the plates of our educators right now.
And although it started, the idea germinated with the pandemic, when did you actually get this started? Becca, continue, please. When did you could get it out there to school districts?
Yeah, absolutely. So the DOE and USNH started this partnership back in June of 2020. Our team started in September. So it started, you know, about a year ago. Our vision is that this is not a pandemic solution. You know, you've talked about this a lot. These are the times to be talking about education, about what is possible in the classroom.
Yeah.
And we are completely committed to have these tools and just thinking about technology in the classroom continue long after. We are completely committed to making this not a pandemic conversation, because these are just tools that our teachers need, our students need. We're a result of the pandemic, but always try to just trying to think beyond that, try to think, how do we continue these conversations and our excitement for what we think is possible in the classroom?
Well, then it's good. Rachel, is the next challenge building better technology for this, or is the next challenge continually marketing what you have to get it out there to all the school districts? The more the merrier, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a crossroads of the two. I don't think it's about finding better technology. I think it's about helping teachers imagine what technology in the classroom can really look like, and what a classroom blended learning environment can look like. I think that's what's so hard about technology in the classroom is, you know, we've been talking for years about 21st century learning skills and, you know, technology capable classrooms and helping students be good digital citizens. But I think in a lot of schools, for a variety of reasons, you know, whether they didn't have access to strong technology or to Wi-Fi or, you know, subscriptions to great tools, it has not become part of the fabric of the day-to-day of most schools, aside from, like, maybe in some classrooms it is still, you wheel in the cart and it's test day and you take the test on the computer and then you wheel them back out, or you wait to go to the library to do some research, or you just you don't have the infrastructure to support it. And so I think that what we really kind of think about in terms of getting these tools into classrooms is helping teachers really understand what a blended learning environment is, because pre-pandemic, there were teachers doing great things in the classroom with technology, and then the pandemic hit, the world shut down, and they had no choice but to use technology. And we need to find a middle ground, I think, of really showing them how technology can be something that supports learning. It does not mean kids are, again, sitting in front of the screen 8 hours a day in every single class with everything online. There is a way to kind of take, you know, this like vintage education of, you know, hands-on stuff and low-tech projects, but to blend them with the resources that exist now and have those two things be a really great marriage. And so I think that's what we really think about here. We're not always on the hunt for the next best tool or the next best trend. It's about taking best practices in education, be they in-person or online practices, practices and using them to create a learning environment that helps make success possible for each and every single student in a way that matches with each teacher's personal preferences for teaching and their particular teaching style.
You know, I'm going to tell Frank Engelblut, your commissioner of education over there, that Rachel's on the way up. He better watch out. Okay.
Thanks so much, Larry. I'm glad our message is really resonating with
you.
You
are a good explainer, I got to tell you. Becca's a hair behind, okay, but you really got the championship right now. It's amazing. What you said, you know, technology is a tool. And it needs to be fully embedded in education. And one of the problems we have is that we constantly use the phrase education technology. And we need to drop the technology part because technology is a part of education. We never said education blackboard, education chalk, education paper. We just said education, okay? And when people hear it as a separate thing, okay, it makes them a little nutty. It isn't a separate thing. It's embedded in there, all right? And the more we understand that, the less challenge we're going to have, okay, of school districts not being prepared for their kids to do this. It just has to be. We didn't run out of chalk when we needed it, and we can't run out of technology and broadband when we need it. How's that? Becca, how was that for a speech?
Amen.
Thanks, pal. Vote for me, okay? But I'm just a proxy for Rachel here. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, it's that simple. Karen, what are your thoughts on all this as we wind down here? Where's Discovery go next with all this?
Yeah, you know, I think first of all, ditto to everything that Rachel just said. I mean, this is not about, you know, technology as a different tool. And it's about, you know, let's think about the best education, best practices for students. And, you know, I'd shared with you previously about, you know, my two favorite words, professional learning. You know, another one of my favorite words is opportunity. And, you know, this is really an opportunity for us to change what education looks like for our students. And with Discovery Education, you know, one of the things we love is partnerships. And just like we've partnered with, you know, iLearn New Hampshire, we're partnering with other states and other districts around the country, actually around the globe, to really make a difference for our students. And that's, you know, that's our focus. You know, how do we do what's best for teachers and students? And that's going to continue with lots of opportunity in front of us.
Yeah, it's really something. Becca, Rachel, you guys are doing a great job down there, and I'll tell you, your philosophy behind it all really makes sense and really makes it all worthwhile. I got to tell you guys are doing great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Totally agree.
Yeah, you're real. Should be proud of what you're doing every day. And Karen, obviously, Discovery is so involved in all this. I'm glad iLearn NH and Discovery tapped into each other for this. This is really good stuff. So I want to thank you all. Thank you, ladies. Becca, Rachel, Karen, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a
pleasure. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for having us. It was super fun.
Oh, it's super fun indeed, and you guys just keep up the good work. Thank you so much. Have a good day. I'll talk to you again, I hope. Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Aren't they terrific, everybody? Let me go over again. That's Rachel Sopko and Becca Van Horn, all right, from UNH. And they're working at the University of New Hampshire in Durham. And they're working on a project called iLearn NH, which is a product to provide basically free learning management system, equitable systems to all the schools in New Hampshire. And they really have to, the school districts have to tap into this. It's just a good thing, and I hope it spreads to other states as well. Discovery's involved with them. The resources are there, et cetera. And when you get a partner like that has national footprint, okay, international, but we're talking national here, you really get a good mix. So I just hope everything continues to be as successful as it is. And education has changed forever. We have to understand that. Okay, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And please visit our new website, too, which is seltoday.org. We're just starting that one, but it's going to be fun. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name's Larry Jacobs. Have a good day.